I've titled Vesper, Peace and Contentment in 2016, based on Solomon's statement in Ecclesiastes 2:11. A man who had everything in the world, and especially had a lot of wives, as you know. How many did he have? 700, 300 concubines? But this is what Solomon summed up. I considered all my activities which my hands had done, labor which I had exerted, behold, all was vanity, striving after wind. There was no profit under the sun. I want to dedicate this Vesper especially to those who in 2015 entered into rest. Some of you know, because I said this, those brethren from Phoenix aren't allowed to answer this, but how many do you think we know that passed in 2015? Maybe you guess 20, 30. Let me show you some of the names that you'd know. I wouldn't read them all. You know, I went to the memorial service on 9/11. We have the Pennsylvania one by our house, and they read the names of every person who died in the World Trade Center, 9/11/01. And sometimes we read the obituaries, but we don't always remember some of those who passed on. Many of these, I'm sure many of you would know, some not. But yet all these were striving for the same thing we're striving, to enter into the final rest of the Lord. We had 51 in that list. And there may have been some didn't know about or didn't collect. But these are some names. And how soon we forget. We forget that these brethren, oh, I didn't know that brother or sister died. So I want to dedicate this Vesper to their memory. Now, we've entered the world of selfies. I don't know about you, but I'm for that phone that Homer has. David goes one better. He doesn't even have a cell phone, I don't think. I don't know. Maybe he does, but Homer's got that little one because, boy, people love to take pictures of themselves. And it goes the gamut all over the place and reaches to the highest order of our land. So selfie sticks are one of the hottest items on Amazon.com. I don't have one. I don't want one. And you don't want to see my selfies. But it points out the fact that every person wants to be in the spotlight. Everyone has a view of what is important to them. Let's consider some of the special interest groups that are registered with the United States government. There's the U.S. Association of Reptile Keepers. Well, maybe that, if you live in Arizona, maybe you're glad that there's reptile keepers when the rattlesnakes come out. There's the National Association of Ordnance Explosive Waste. You don't want to be around to smell when they blow up something. The Balloon Council. Here's one I don't think affects anybody here. The Cigar Rights of America. Did you know cigars have rights? There's the Sports Fans Coalition. And as we speak, these cheeseheads are watching Green Bay and Arizona play football. Then there's the American Pyrotechnics Association, monitors all the fireworks across the country. There's the ADOGA. Now, anyone have an idea what that might stand for? Well, you see a picture there. Right. It's the American Dehydrated Onion and Garlic Association. You got to get the dehydrated part in there. So, I ask you, what would your special interest group be named if you could create one? That's a pretty good one. Well, I came up with one myself, and it's called the Godly and Contented Group. Based on 1 Timothy 6:6-8. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. and having food and raiment, let us there be therewith content. Brethren, I think we've touched on it today, what we accomplish, how much we own, who we know, all useless, unless we have peace, and true contentment. And true peace and contentment only comes when we choose something greater than ourselves, when we choose God above ourselves. So we're going to open this Vesper with a song. Now, I want everyone to sing. I'm going to have the words and the music are up here, so you can follow along up here, but I realize in the back sometimes you can't see so good. But to help you along, I've asked a group. We're going to do a couple of group songs, but then I've also asked the group to sort of be up here to lead the singing on these. So Sister Tammy and Sister April are going to accompany these, and I'm going to turn off my mic during the songs or else I will blast you out of here. Straightened out. Yes. No, thanks. Solomon said in Proverbs 3:1, "My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart." This song, this poem written by Walter Sargent, might recognize a couple people in this picture. To live content with things that be, nor seek for wealth or poverty, to meet each day with courage strong, keep earth's affairs where they belong, to be not fashion's dupe or slave, true worth, not admiration crave, to know that life's a race to run, to drink in power from the sun, see the handiwork of God in every grass blade of the sod, in every tree and bird and flower, in every kindly sparkling shower, in star and sea and mountain peak, to hear the voice freedom speak, to study life, speak soberly, think in the thoughts of charity, bear patiently each blow that tries great wisdom as a glorious prize, grasped with arm, uncramped and free, each golden opportunity. Let my mental door swing wide, truth and hope and love's rich tide, to find in earth's great commonwealth beauty and grace and poise, health. Look the whole world in the eye, nor fear to live, nor fear to die, to do a higher will than mine, honor and faith to shine, to keep in tune for joy and praise. This, my heart song of the days. Brethren, do we aspire to reaching something higher beyond ourselves? If you're over 40 years old, yes, many would raise their hands, your heart has beat more than 15 billion times. Once your heart stops, it's too late to change your ways. So you might lose some weight, get more exercise, begin not only watching what you eat, but what's eating you. Stress is the single greatest factor in heart disease. But Solomon speaks of the spiritual heart. It's in our spiritual heart where we determine how we speak, how we behave and respond. It can be overcome by stress as well. So here's a fitness test for your spiritual heart. Weight. Do you need to lose the weight of worldly burdens and cares? Blood pressure. Is your trust greater than your anxiety? Diet. Are you enjoying the life-giving nutrients provided by God's truth? Are you working out daily with the scriptures to keep your spiritual heart fit? We're going to sing another song here. This is called Teach Me Thy Way, O Lord. And you may not know this one. I'm going to ask Tammy and April to play it through once before we sing. for everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet, it did not fail. This poem by Anne Johnson Flint called Give Me Thy Strength. Give me thy strength for my day, Lord, that wheresoever I go, there shall no danger daunt me, and I shall fear no foe. So shall no trial fret, so shall I walk unwearied the path where my feet are set. So shall I find no burden greater than I can bear. So shall I have a courage equal to all my care. So shall no grief overwhelm me. So shall no wave overflow. Give me thy strength my day, Lord. Cover my weakness so. In 1992, Hurricane Andrew destroyed thousands of homes in South Florida. There was an area where the wreckage looked just like a war zone. But in the middle of that, there was one house that remained standing, anchored to its foundation. A reporter came up and asked the owner why his house hadn't been blown away. And he said, I built this house myself. According to the Florida State Building Code, I used whatever the code said. I was told that a house built according to code could withstand a hurricane. We build our lives on the words of Jesus in the Bible. We will not be swept away when a crisis hits with a hurricane-like force. We will, on the contrary, emerge with our character strengthened, with our confidence in God renewed. Our group is now going to sing a song called Moment by Moment.
Dying with Jesus my death and mine, living with Jesus a new life divine, looking to Jesus till glory. Oh.
That song was first given to me by Sister Lena's mother, Sister Felicia Everett, and I've loved it for the last 20 years since she gave it to me. Proverbs 3:7, Solomon says, "Do not think how wise you are. Fear the Lord and turn from evil." Talent is God-given. Be humble. Fame is man-given. Be grateful. Conceit is self-given. Be careful. As John Wooden, famous UCLA basketball coach, who endowed his men with great character, sad token today that we don't see that kind of character displayed any longer in the sports world, the way Wooden taught it. Reprint 2060, Brother Russell discusses this passage of Proverbs 3:7. He says, "Nothing is more dangerous to the child of God than self-conceit. It blocks the way to true progress and reformation of heart and hinders true usefulness to others, and especially usefulness in God's service. We are sorry at times to find some to speak of the knowledge of the truth which they have received of the Lord as though it were something of their own achievement, as though some honor were due them as the inventors of the divine plan." This poem by C.D. Nicks is about others, the shift of our focus from ourselves to those around us. Lord, help me live from day to day in such a self-forgetful way that even when I kneel to pray, my prayer should be for others. Help me in all the work I do to ever be sincere and true and know that all I do for you needs to be done for others. Let self be crucified and slain, buried deep, all in vain. May efforts be to rise again, lest to live for others. And when my work on earth is done, and my new work in heaven's begun, may I forget the crown I've won, still thinking still of others. Others, Lord, yes, others. Let this my motto be, help me to live for others. I may live like thee. Each fall, flocks of migrating geese fly these long wavy V formations. You may have seen them on their long flight south. You know why they fly together and make so much noise? No, they're not discussing Bible student truths. The geese fly at speeds of up to 50 miles per hour. They travel in formation because as each bird flaps its wings, it creates an updraft for the bird behind it. When the lead goose tires, it drops to the back and another one comes to the lead. The geese can go 70% farther in a group than they can go if they fly alone. They also honk at one another, not as critics, but as encouragers. Stay on course. Maintain your speed. How about you? Are you flying with your brethren and encouraging them? Or would you rather fly alone? Who is there you know now that could use a helpful home? We're going to sing the next song, and it was written by Sister Teresa Parkinson, set to a poem by Sister Alice Ripper. May not know this one. Again, I'm going to have our group come up and lead the singing, but I'll ask our pianist and violinist to play this through once so you can hear the tune. Of that song, truly something, brethren, it's a vision that we need to keep in front of us. That is a precious thought. Paul said, I know a man in Christ, such a one suddenly conveyed away to the third heaven. And I know this very man, that he was suddenly conveyed away into paradise and heard indescribable things spoken, which it is not possible for a man to relate. 2 Corinthians 12:2-4 from the Dialogue. One of my favorite passages in the volumes is the concluding thoughts, volume 1. I want to read some excerpts from that. We have seen that the second advent of Messiah set up his kingdom in the earth. It's an event in which all classes of men may have hope. An event which, when fully understood, will bring joy and gladness to all hearts. It is the day when the Lord's little flock of consecrated saints has the greatest cause for rejoicing. It is the glad day when the espoused virgin church with joy becomes the bride, when she comes up out of the wilderness, leaning upon the arm of her beloved, enters to his glory. It is a day when the true church, glorified with its head, will be endued with divine authority and power, and will begin the great work for the world, the result of which will be the complete restitution of all things. A knowledge of these things and the evidences that they are nigh, even at the door, have a powerful influence upon all, but especially upon the consecrated children of God who are seeking the pride of the divine nature. We urge such, while they lift up their heads and rejoice, lay aside every weight and hindrance, and to run patiently the race which they have started. Look away from self and its unavoidable weaknesses and imperfections, knowing that all such weaknesses are covered fully by the merits of the ransom given by Christ Jesus our Lord. Our group will now sing the song, God Will Take Care of You. 1, 2, and 4.
Be not dismayed, whatever betide, God will take care of you. Beneath his wings of love abide, God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day or all the way.
Going on with that reading, let us remember that the strength sufficient which God has promised us, it is a strength derived from a knowledge of His character and plan, and of the conditions upon which we may share them. Great is the road I climb, but the garland offered by an easier effort is not worth the effort, not worth the gathering. That's not from the volume, but that's a think about that road we climb, brethren. It's a great road that we go. But if the effort were easy, if the way was easy, it would not mean nearly as much. The Lord is with us every step of the way. We're going to conclude this Vesper with a song I like, another song written by a Bible student, the music composed. And we're very fortunate that we have the composer with us here, and he has agreed that he would accompany us for this song. So, Brother David, if you would forward. We're going to sing this as the concluding song. It's a in volume 4, a poem that was there. And I want you to think about the words as you sing this. This is really our vision, brethren, of what we're striving for. I'll ask them to play it through once so you can hear in case you're not familiar with this tune. A better day is coming, the Lord in promise long, when truth and right with holy might shall overthrow the wrong. When Christ the Lord will listen to
last hymn was beautiful, very lovely. We're going to ask Brother Ken Allison to come up and to read the Songs of the Night for January 16th. Brother Ken Allison from Southern Colorado.
Songs of the Night, January 16th. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Deuteronomy 33:27. The scriptures abound with testimonies to the effect that the severe trials of the near future will be along the lines of deception. They speak of lying angels and deceivableness, of unrighteousness and lying wonders, and tell us that the Lord will send or permit a strong delusion that they may believe a lie. If we gain the right conception of the matter, these deceptions are to affect the whole world, including its wise men, and indeed practically everybody except the very elect. And the very elect will be preserved, not through their own wisdom or superiority, but through the power of God. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms.
At the bottom of the pamphlet, the convention brochure, it says, instant in prayer for today, Romans 12:12. Instant in prayer. So this brings us all to a close for this first day of convention, all of us gathered, assembled here in this room, and those assembled online, participating with us, I guess you could say an extension of the convention in many different lands. And I might mention tomorrow, your chairman will be Brother Kent Humphreys, and the services, the Bethel service will start a little different than today. It'll be 15 minutes later, 9:30 tomorrow morning. 9:30 Sunday morning. I might just ask momentarily while we have the time if Brother Alex has any other messages of love. No other messages. Okay. So with that, I will also say that we're allowed to be in this room until approximately 9 o'clock. So let's, because the facility has been very, very nice to all of us, let's respect that. So we'll try to all try to be out of the room, exited, because they may need to do some tending to the room. So let's all be out by 9 or maybe a little bit before, if that's okay. And Brother MC, I will make sure that they will lock up the doors. Of course, now that you mentioned that, I'm sure it should be fine because the cleaners, they would there shouldn't be any issues. And yes, I think you can leave your items out. Well, last night they locked the two double doors. It was locked. Okay, excellent, Brother Richard. So that's a reassurance that the doors will be locked. So yes, you can leave your items. It was mentioned to me that Sister Evelyn mentioned we might be changing a few of the tablecloths in certain areas. So if your books happen to be on a table that the tablecloth's a little damaged, we'll move those, fix the tablecloth, and put it back. So let us let's stand if we can. Brother Len will close this session with prayer.
Dear Father, we thank you again so much for this day of convention. It truly has been one of glory and honor to you, Father, and many lessons which we want to take to our heart. We thank you for it. We thank you for your protection, watch, care over all those who have come today. May this be glory and honor to you. Now I ask for your blessing on our continued fellowship for this night and also on our rest this evening. We look forward to the day tomorrow when we can have further sessions of this convention. Please continue to guide and direct us in each step, Father, and may we continue to bring glory and honor to you in our lives. And, desire to serve you greatly. May that reflect in all that we do, all that we say, and all that we give you thanks and praise for all things. In Jesus' name.